are seeking the Lord's blessing this evening, we may turn to consider a portion of his word in Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, reading from verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And so on down to verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so we have this passage from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, a book that is foundational, of course, to our understanding of the God who reveals himself in Holy Scripture. It is a book that we do well, of course, to read often and be familiar with. And, of course, the Lord, in his gracious providence in providing this opening part of Scripture, has so ordained it that the book itself is one that is full of interesting matter, naturally speaking, we might say. We all surely have questions as to where this world has come from and where we have come from ourselves. And of course, the answers to these great questions of life are found in the Bible, and a number of them are addressed, of course, in this first book of Scripture. The book of Genesis, then, is a book that deals with various themes, such as the theme of beginning, the beginning of all things that we can see, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the origin of these things, beginning of nations, the beginning of persons, families such as Noah and Abraham. And also the progression of these things, the progression of Noah's family, progression of Abraham's family. These families, of course, being of particular interest, the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's dealings with them. And solemnly and soberly, as we shall come to see this evening, of course, the book of Genesis is a book that informs us with the highest authority regarding the origins of sin, which is a matter of great solemnity, and how needful it is, of course, when we are seeking to prepare to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be reminding ourselves this evening of why it was needful that the Savior would die at Calvary. Why was it needful that he should offer himself up as a ransom for many? Well, we see here that sin is a great evil, that God is one who cannot and will not just pass it by, that sin must be dealt with. That is clear teaching of the passage before us. And so we are to be reminded of these things then. And here we can see from these chapters in Genesis that we are taking to do with the life of Noah. And what is interesting and striking about this passage is that we have a number of chapters that take to do with the flood. And of course the life of Noah is very much bound up with this period of his life, that is the period just before the judgment of God comes. the period regarding his being in the ark in a place of safety and security, and the period following his departure from the ark. Even although his life extended to several hundred years, we are it is only this particularly short period, if you like, this particular period of Noah's life that we have information about. And it is just another case, of course, where we find the sovereignty of God in the Bible, where we find that the Holy Spirit makes known to us certain information that is needing to be made known. And so, as we know, and even the children know, the life of Noah is very much bound up with this particular part of his existence here on earth. And Noah was one who lived through times that were truly cataclysmic, if you like, times of tremendous upheaval, such as the world had never seen and has never seen since. It was a time of great solemnity and a fearful overthrow of the wicked. So we take to do then, seeking the Lord's blessing this evening, with the subject of the flood, and the subheading being God's judgment against sin. The flood, God's judgment against sin. The earth also was corrupt before God, verse 11, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, here in this particular part of chapter 6, we find the Lord God revealing to Noah what he is about to do, and we find the Lord God informing Noah what he, for his part, ought to do. And of course we think about the communion season, and we think about the fact that when we remember the death of Christ, God is reminding us from his word and by virtue of the sacrament, he's reminding us of what he has done. And what Christ has done, and God's people are being informed, are they not, and seeking to prepare for what they must do, that is to remember the Saviour's death in the way that he has ordained. Well, we look here at this passage of Scripture then, and let us address our minds to three matters, as God may help us to do so. And the first matter is what God saw upon the earth. Verse 11 of our text, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So here we have in the first place what God saw. What God saw. Then secondly, what God said. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. So, first of all, we have what God saw. Then we have what God said, and what God said unto Noah. And then thirdly, what Noah did in response. Verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. It is succinctly put at the end of chapter number 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That is what Noah did. He did what God commanded. And that is where the focus is placed upon the faith of Noah, upon his diligence in obeying the commandment of God, and of course what follows is the Lord's gracious preserving of Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and the beasts and the fowls of the air and what all the animals that were put in the ark in the providence of God and sustained throughout the time of overthrow and divine judgment. Well, these three things, what God saw upon the earth, what God said to Noah, what Noah did in response. First of all, we have what God saw. What God saw. We read here that the earth also was corrupt before God. That is, in the sight of God, before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth. And behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Here we have then revealed to us the fact that God looked upon the earth, that God saw what the children of men were doing. And we must, of course, remind ourselves of the wider context here in Genesis, because we are familiar, you see, with chapter 1 in Genesis, and particularly how it ends. Let me just remind us of that. Verse 31 in chapter 1 of Genesis. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here we have in chapter 1 the way in which it concludes, that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But now, you see, everything is not very good and far from it. And of course the reason for that is because of the fall of man. Because of the entrance of sin into the world, God's perfect world that God made, that holy God, that righteous God, that God that made man upright, but alas, man for his part sought out many inventions, sinful inventions, that is. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt. See, so how meaningful that is, particularly when we think back to creation, that when God saw that everything was good, then God on the seventh day, as it were, he rested the seventh day, as it were, contemplating, if we might speak in that way, his own handiwork, and then giving an example to the children of men as to what they ought to do, that is to contemplate God's work and to worship his holy name. And God blessed the seventh day, verse 3 of chapter 2 in Genesis, and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. So you see, the solemn matter of the flood is so opposite from what we have there. When the Lord saw the work that he had made, and it was very good. But now we read the law that God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And all flesh had corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So this is what God sees. Now, we are, of course, to be aware that it's not the case that the Lord was unaware of what was developing upon his earth. But no doubt it is an accommodation to our puny understandings. And it is also to provide, we believe, a focus to us to be quite clear as to why it was that God brought the flood of divine wrath and judgment upon this world in the days of Noah. the Lord, as it were, makes a closer inspection, so to speak, in regard to the matter. And what follows is that he will inform Noah regarding the thing that he is about to do and the reason why. And we see a similar proceeding from the Lord God later on in the case of Sodom and the cities of the plain, where the Lord says that he will go down and look to see how things are in these places that have been so richly provided for in Providence, such good farmlands, such good and wealthy communities, but such terrible sin and wickedness going on in these cities where Lot at that time did dwell. And so the Lord, you see, in that case, he also makes a closer inspection, as it were, into the matter. And also, at the same time, as you can see, in a similar way with regard to Abraham, informs his righteous servant what he is about to do. And informs Abraham, and then Abraham is brought to pray. He is brought to pray for Lot, particularly in that the Lord might spare him that overthrow that Abraham is persuaded the Lord will surely bring upon Sodom. So God saw what men were doing. And we make the point then, by way of application, that the same God takes notice of what we do. And there is not anything that we can do, but the Lord God is well aware of everything that we do. We see with regard to the knowledge of God and his looking into the state of affairs in the world in the days of Noah, that the Lord, that God saw, verse 5 of our chapter, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, you see there the penetration of the gaze of God that is going deeper than man's outward actions, going far deeper than the outward actions of men. How meaningful it is then when we find occasional references in the Gospels to the Savior, having an understanding of man, and having an understanding of what was in man, and of not being in any wise fooled by the outward show of the scribes and Pharisees of his own day. He was and is the Son of God. He does have that penetrating gaze that we read of here. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. So there we see God looking upon the earth. And what is it that, as it were, with reverence, takes up the particular notice of the Most High? It is the moral state of the children of men. It is the conduct of people, as it were, like you and me, who were then living upon the face of the earth, what men were doing. That was what took up the notice of God. Now we see it again in chapter 11, in regard to the Tower of Babel, the Lord looking into the matter, the Lord displeased with the behavior and the conduct of sinners here on earth. Again and again, the Lord reminding us in his word, yea, even here in the very first book of the Bible, that there is nothing that men do that escapes his notice. There is nothing that men do, though it be never so secret, that escapes the all-seeing eye of God. Indeed, do we not read in the scripture of the seven eyes? In the book of Revelation, do we not read of seven eyes at times? That seems to indicate, seven being the number of perfection, that there is a perfect knowledge of God is a perfection of knowledge, of wisdom, of understanding, and there is nothing whatsoever that can escape God's notice, though it would be the secret thought of the heart of any one of us here this evening. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt. We see that men had corrupted their way upon the earth. Now think of the contrast between what we read of concerning God looking upon man as a judge and as aware of men's actions, and what we read of earlier in the chapter regarding the sons of God. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So there it appears, the seed of the church mixing with the world. And what is it that brings this about? But the sons of God seeing, looking, but looking with lust and with pride and with self, and choosing for themselves, and not referring the matter to God, and not walking in the fear of the Lord. And the Lord is pleased. Verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So men were seeing and following the ways of sin and self, and God was seeing as with the eye of divine justice and judgment and weighing men's actions. So God saw. He saw the progress of sin in his own creation, the spread of sin, the effects of the fall of man, the fruit of Adam's partaking of the forbidden fruit was here in stark relief. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. How quickly men go astray. There's the account of the late Reverend Donald MacLean, Glasgow, when he was joining up the Navy, and himself and his fellow cadet were on the train, and they came to a station where more potential cadets boarded the carriage of the train, and very boisterous and unpleasant, and this young man that had been with Mr. MacLean in the train thus far leant over and said to him, "Well, must we be with these men?" He'd had a good upbringing. "Must we be with these men, this conversation, these men? Must we spend time with them?" And Mr. MacLean said that within a few weeks he was worse than them all. He was worse than all of them. And that's the heart of man, left to oneself, perhaps with restraints loosed of family or of church in that man's case for a time, and put into bad company. Then corruption came out, and he was worse than them all. And so here we see God looking upon the earth. It was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. It was much violence, as we see. Not only do we find here that God saw the spread of sin, but also the sinfulness of sin. Sinfulness of sin. There's a book by Ralph Wenning that bears that title, The Sinfulness of Sin. It originally was called, I understand, The Plague of Plagues, having been written after a time of the Great Plague. And he wrote this book, The Plague of Plagues, or The Sinfulness of Sin. And when we think about sin, do we not find one description of how evil a thing sin is simply to say that a thing is exceeding sinful. Exceeding sinful. That is, that sin is so great and evil that when one uses the word, it just emphasizes it. Sin is the transgression of the law. That is the law of God. And we find here then, this was what men were doing. They were disobeying God. They were falling away. We see some of the reasons for that. Mixing with the world, mingling with the world. These are still things we need to be warned about, cautioned about. Is it not the design of Satan to have the world swallow up the church? Or to have the people of God to just to go the way of the world and not to walk as children of light. So God saw all that was going on, all the evil that men had brought upon the earth, all the corruption, all the sin, all the violence, all the wickedness. It was all very well known to God. It was all very displeasing to the Most High. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And we remind ourselves of the wider context. It is this same world that God had made and said it was very good. It was very good. Behold, it was very good. God saw now that sin had corrupted this world. And sin is that indeed in our own day that mars everything. That mars everything. And should bring the Lord's people, of course, to desire heaven. And the great glory of heaven is there is no sin there. And therefore there is no suffering. There is no death. There is no suspicion in the inhabitants of heaven. Everything is serene, we might say, and happy and blessed in glory. But here we find the Lord looking upon the earth. It's not the Lord looking upon heaven. If we could speak like that, then the Lord would have seen none of these things, and does see none of these things, in that heaven where he dwells with his people, the spirits of just men made perfect, the holy angels, Satan shut out, the devil shut out forever. What a serene paradise it is. There's no corruption, but God, looking in Noah's day upon the earth, took notice of the sin of man. And that brings me then to the second point, which is the what God said. What did God say? Because you see, that it follows in very quick succession here. What God saw, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So there it is. God looked upon the earth, and behold, as it were, we are to look too, as readers of the Bible. We are to look, and we are to see something. Although we cannot see the depth of what God himself saw, yet we can draw conclusions from what God said and did as to the great evil of what the Lord God saw upon the earth in Noah's day. It was corrupt. It was corrupt and offensive to God, for sin is offensive to God. all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. How widespread sin was. We sinned in him, we say in our catechism, and fell with him, that is Adam, in his first transgression. The guilt of Adam's first sin is our guilt. And we have inherited from him a sinful nature that even the Lord's people have to contend with to the end of their days here on earth. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Is there not something very striking here that we do find replicated in other places? And that is that God, when he spoke, having seen so much corruption, having seen so many sinners going astray, having seen so many that were offending him, spoke to one man. And one man only. We would think that God would speak to all, would warn all, would contend with all. But we read that God said to Noah. He spoke to one man. Only one man. Now, of course, this indicates as a further proof of the terrible state of the world in Noah's day. There was one righteous man. But we find this elsewhere, do we not? God speaking to one man. Let's see it with Abraham. God calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees, one man. This one man, Abraham. After these things, rather earlier on, where we read of Abraham called out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought in due course to the land of Canaan. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There is one man. All the people that were alive in Abraham's day, all, and he was no better. Abraham, some think, means father of the high place, as though he were some kind of perhaps a heathen priest. He was no better than others. It's grace, grace unto it. He will be called Abraham, father of a multitude. But there's one man, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, we think particularly God dealing with Jacob. That one man, God does not have dealings with Esau as he has with Jacob. We come to others. Samuel, who was but a lad, and God does not speak to Eli. God speaks to Samuel. God contends and chooses Moses, one man, David. And what does this all mean? Perhaps in some way it points to the one mediator. Perhaps in some way it points to Christ, that one man, that second Adam, that Lord from glory. But we might also think of it in this way, how the Lord speaks to us, as though he were speaking to nobody else at times in a sermon. How the Lord may speak to you or me, very individually and very pertinently. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You see, we might think, why is it that the Lord does not speak to everyone in our day? Well, we see there's no new thing. God is absolutely sovereign. Did God speak to everyone in Noah's day? Did God make known to everyone what he was going to do and the way whereby they might escape in the way in which he did to Noah? No. This is so solemn then, to think of our privileges as gospel hearers here at a communion season. God speaking to us in his word, speaking to us from this passage in Providence about the sinfulness of sin, upon the fact that he will and is absolutely determined to punish sin. Let men think what they will. The end of all flesh has come before me. So God speaks to Noah. He speaks to this man. He spoke to Abram, to Noah, Jacob, David, Elijah. Dealing with certain individuals at times very singularly. And he speaks to Noah and he intimates two general points. The first is an intimation of divine judgment. Verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So there's the intimation of the judgment of God and the reason for it. Man's sin. So that when Noah passes through this terrible event, he will understand and he will teach his posterity why this event took place. Because of the sin of man, corruption of man, and as a witness, therefore, to the great evil of sin, the determination of God to judge sinners for their sin. Intimation of divine judgment. The violence we read of here, well, of course, when we read of violence, that wasn't the only sin, because it never is where this sin is present in anybody's life. Why are people violent? For various reasons, no doubt, but the sinful anger begins in the heart. Sometimes then proceeds through the tongue by way of threatenings and violent imprecations and covetousness and such like things. Covetousness, violence, you see the connection there in case of Ahab and Jezebel. When Naboth would not sell the vineyard, then Jezebel murders him. There's violence. There's covetousness and violence. Let us remind ourselves that the 10th commandment requireth of us a full contentment with our own condition, with a right and charitable frame of spirit towards our neighbor and all that is his. It is violence. And this earth has since Noah's day been filled with violence too. Wars and rumors of wars. If you were to go to the local library, you would find a section, no doubt, on the subject of war and warfare. And there would be many books, and some of them very large books at that, on that subject, that makes up such a part of the history of this world. A history of this world. One could almost write a history of this world by simply going through the great wars and the kind of events that were taking place around about them. When Churchill wrote his history of the Second World War, it ran to six volumes. Six volumes. Such was the nature of that conflict and the many battles and windings in Providence that took place in these solemn years of the last century. So what violence. Men are no different then. There's still the same root of sin. There's still the same propensity for wickedness. God said to Noah, as it were, I will destroy, I will judge. But also we see here that God intimated a second thing, and that was an intimation of divine mercy. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And so on, without me reading through all of the part we read earlier regarding the design of this ark, suffice to say that it was a very stable and most secure structure. Those who, given the dimensions that are given, have made scale models and tested them, have found it to be a very suitable structure. It was made not to sail, but that it would not sink. It was to float upon the face of the water, so that it became like a pinprick upon the face of the earth. For the mountains were covered. They were covered. And this flood went far and wide. The effects of it is still seen today. This year my family and I visited the coast of England, went down to the White Cliffs, and it was pointed out to us by our friends that there's chalk there, of course, the bulk of it being chalk, but then you see at a certain level there is flint all the way around the coastline for kilometre after kilometre. This one consistent level, there is the flint, the black stone, and it seems to be have been sea creatures that were crushed up, fossilized, and one would take it that these things happened during an event of great catastrophe, rather than being laid down over millions or billions of years. We take it that these things happened very suddenly and very overwhelmingly, with great forces of pressure at this time. So here we see God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me." God said to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy." Well, sin is the cause, as one writer puts it, of every mischief. If kingdoms fall or homes are divided, to this it must be ascribed. Their burning lusts shall be quenched in a deluge of waters. God said that he would judge, but God also intimated that he would show mercy unto Noah according to his own mind and will, with the provision of this place of safety, for that is what it amounts to, a place of absolute safety and certainty and security for Noah and these chosen ones. Now we come to the third point, which is what Noah did. Thus did Noah, verse 22, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. It is not gone into all the troubles and the trials that Noah might have had when he constructed this ark. But the Holy Spirit would have us to be well aware that Noah acted as a man of faith, and he acted as a man who was willing to obey the commandment of God. To obey the commandment of God, he acted by faith. And we are told about that, of course, also later on in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. There we are informed regarding this man Noah, that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So this thing that he had not seen, this had never taken place, nor has it since. There have been local floods, as we well know, in this area and other areas, but not this nature of event. This has never taken place since, nor had it taken place before. But Noah acted by faith, and thereby he sets us an example, because the Bible informs us of a heaven and a hell, a life after death, things that we have never seen. And we are to seek, of course, the grace of faith, that we might be like Noah, that we might be acting. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. So he acted by faith. Divine revelation was set before him. We believe he humbled himself. We believe that he was one who feared the Lord. We believe that he was one who was well aware of the tremendous corruption and wickedness in the society all around him. And he was very fearful of that. Well, how is it with us? On this day when we are to be preparing, as in the days ahead, if spared, to remember the Savior's death, we do well, of course, to begin then by reminding ourselves of the evil of sin, of the fact that God takes notice of it, yea, particular notice of it, yea, careful notice of it in any man's life, and that God is a God of judgment, that sin must be punished. It will be punished. And that is why we need Christ. That is why we need that one man, as it were, that one mediator, that God-man, Christ Jesus, if we are to escape the greater judgment, the judgment of God. We are to be reminded then that Noah was one who came into that ark. God shut him in. God kept him safe. God provided the design. It wasn't Noah that came up with this design. No doubt he was an able enough man in his own day, a godly man. But he never came up with this way of escape by virtue of his own understanding of events. No, the provision was of the Lord. And that is the provision that we are seeking then, and the Lord's people are seeking to remember in the coming Sabbath, is spared. Remembrance of the provision that God has made in his Son, Jesus Christ, his soon atoning death. Well, we think about Noah. We think about the flood. We think about what God saw then. We think about what God sees in us now. You and me. What does God see in us? What might God say? And what ought we to do? Repent ye, believe the gospel, seek Christ, ask the Lord to help you to remember the Savior who loved his people, who gave himself for them. May he bless his word to us, we shall pray. Blessed and holy God, bless thy holy truth to us. We be reminded of Noah and the flood, great event that took place in the history of this world. Lord Jesus, it testifies to the veracity of the scripture account regarding this solemn event. Lord, thou art the God who looks upon the children of men in our day too. Thou art the one who weighs the actions of us all. There's nothing we can hide from thee. And our great need is that thou would speak to us, not in wrath, but in mercy, that thou wouldst direct us afresh in the gospel to Jesus Christ and him crucified, even that one who says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Take us home safely, bless us in view of the services yet before us. Give us the strength and health of body and mind, and uphold us in our souls, and dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen.